come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love it.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Now, our theme today is politics, and in that theme, we're going to have the first roundtable discussion that we have ever had. I'm joined in the studio by two of my more politically active friends. On the one hand, I have Susan Montgomery. On the other hand, I have Doug Halter, and both have been friends for a long time, and both of them have very strong opinions about politics here in Ventura. Let me just set it up for you. Susan Montgomery is an educator, an activist, a senior citizen advocate, political activist, and a local gadfly. Many listeners know her as the host of Schmooze with Suze, which is a local television show on CAPS Channel 15 in Ventura. Currently, she's an educator with the Ventura Unified School District, broadening her education classes for seniors as the Schmooze for Suze classes. She works with seniors to help them tell their life stories. Also joining me in the studio is Doug Halter. He wears many hats in the community, including lead trainer for the California State Positively Speaking Program, chair of the AIDS Partnership of Ventura County, former chair of the Ventura Chamber of Commerce, interim chair of the downtown Ventura community, and the list goes on and on. Too long for me to read. We'd run out of time if I did. However, suffice it to say that the LA Times declared him as one of the people to watch in 1999, and he received the Ventura Citizen of the Year Award back in 2001. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for coming into the studio today.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to be here.
Politics.
Thanks for inviting us.
Oh, sure. I'm so glad to have you. Politics is the name of the game in 2012. We've got a presidential election coming up. Certainly that's going to get the lion's share of the attention. Then the state elections, then the regional elections, and finally they're the local elections. So the things sort of flow downhill. By the time we start talking about local politics, many people are burned out. However, local politics, that's your game right there. Both of you, both love local politics. Doug, you've run for the city council several times. Suze, have you ever run for city council?
I have no desire to. I'd rather be in the trenches throwing rocks. And on that note, though, I am in the process of working on my almost going on 3 years of changing the city charter for the city of Ventura.
Excellent.
Right. You are working on the outside, but you consider yourself an agitator, an instigator more than a...
I'm a pain in the butt, but not a gadfly.
All right. Fair enough.
No, she's a good pain in the butt. We need people like Suze.
Without
a doubt. Don't want to run.
All right. Well, I want to jump into it because city governance, city government is really not in focus. As I said, it's going to be all national. But when you look at what's gone on in Wisconsin over the last year with the local governments and with the state governments, you know, you get very politicized views. Republicans want to limit the size of government, and on the other hand, Democrats want to keep the essential services. And those two things in this economic climate don't coexist very well. Ventura, the city of Ventura, is kind of a microcosm of all of that. What I want to do with the two of you, though, is get beyond the party labels, Democrat, Republican, and let's really talk about what is needed to govern the city. So, Doug, I'm going to start with you as a former candidate and ask you. You've been in the trenches. Mm-hmm. You have actually run, and you've had a platform. What do you think is necessary to run the city of Ventura?
Well, this is a big task today, let me tell you. But but it's something that I live and breathe every day. It's I love efficiency. I'm an engineer by major. I like looking at how to make everything work as efficiently as possible using the minimum number or amount of resources necessary to get a job done. And I think really it comes down to looking at the 90% that we all agree upon and not focusing so much on the 10% that we may disagree upon. So if we could all agree to spend our limited resources on the 90% that we agree upon and then somehow work through the details of that 10% to come to some compromise, because I do believe a lot of our values are the same, whether it's Democrat, Republican. The type of politics that's gone on, I think, in the last 3 to 5 years has just been completely not in anybody's best interest, whether it be Democrat, Republican, just citizens in general or the country in general. So we need to really focus on what we can get accomplished, what it is the end result, and don't lose sight of the ball, that what it is we want to accomplish and figure out what resources we need to accomplish that.
Well, you use the C word, compromise, and that's not something that's being used a lot in politics today. When you have the U.S. Congress 18% approval rating, it's very low. Suze, I'm going to throw it over to you. Now, what do you think we need to run government? We've heard local government.
Well, I think this is on a national level, just speaking for myself, but I really believe that we need to educate our population to begin with. And so it starts in local and it goes, you know, through the channels all the way through state and, you know, nationally speaking. But when you don't educate your public, or you fail in that respect, or you as a personal individual that is a voting member of our general public don't take the time or opportunity to educate yourself, that's the bigger issue. When you have approximately 30% of our voters that vote in any election in the city of Ventura, for example, that's not encouraging.
30% is on the high side. Last election was 27%.
I know. It's really pathetic. It's really sad. Yeah. But again, it's your personal responsibility. It's your duty, and it's your advantage, and it's also your responsibility to learn how to vote and who the people you vote for. So if you don't have people that you trust or know to vote for, but that's another issue, especially the who you know. Incumbencies, well, no, I'm not a big fan of any incumbency at all. And I really, you know, I'm not one to tackle the term limits because that's another issue for another show. So, speaking in general, I think we, you know, this, like Doug said, he was absolutely right. We do, the people that are engaged, like Doug and myself and others, the 90% will agree to come to some kind of a consensus, but learn the issues, learn what the city wants, learn what the city needs, do your best part. Doug and I served on the very first park commission here, 1997, Doug. I looked it up this morning. I was amazed at it. And I'm still there. I don't know why, but I'm still there. But I'm still there because I really believe that one person can make a difference in our town, and see it demonstrated every single day.
Well, as Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local. Ventura has its own unique set of circumstances, and one of the things that has always been a challenge for us is attracting new business and maintaining a good, steady housing base. So let's tackle the business end of it first. Ventura lost Levi's. There was a processing plant or a warehousing plant. We lost Kinko's. We've lost, we're on the rope with Haas, which I know is down in Oxnard, but that's certainly on the ropes and could impact the area as well. So what does it take to bring new business into a community like Ventura in order to stimulate the economy, get more tax dollars flowing, that kind of thing?
Go ahead. You want to take it first, Doug?
Sure, I'll take it first, because there's a couple points that, first off, is you really have to have show the community what it is you want for the community. What do you welcome in this community? And if you say, you know, that we're open to green businesses, we want high-tech businesses, a lot of the things, those are kind of the mainstay that every city wants. But we have a fantastic location that really should be attracting those businesses for every sense of the word. But you also need a strong workforce. You need an educated workforce. You need government policies and ordinances that support opening businesses and growing that business.
Now, Doug, the city has an ombudsman who will help you with all of that. That's a new program. They instituted it 2 years ago. This person is supposed to walk the new businesses through. What's your experience, or what are you hearing, because you're out in the community, about the ombudsman program?
You know, I honestly have not heard a whole lot about it, other than the fact that, you know, I'm still involved with the chamber, but not as heavily as I used to be. I just know that there's a lot of businesses that do want to locate here in Ventura, and we still send a large part of our workforce to other communities, to Santa Clarita, to Santa Barbara. A significant percentage of our workforce goes to those other communities, yet we should be capable of housing those businesses here in our own community. So what I've heard from a few people is they're like to stay in Ventura, but they can't find the building, or they can't upgrade the building because they're not allowed to because it's a historic building and the codes are somewhat unclear about what they can and can't do. In some cases, I've heard businesses being pointed to other communities. And
Our city officials are pointing businesses to Oxnard and to Ojai and other places outside of Ventura?
Yes, I've heard that on a number of occasions over the last several years. And I'm hoping that that number is being reduced as we... Suze is shaking her head over here.
We
need a glass of wine for this.
A case of wine would be fine, but I'm sitting on my chair just fidgeting like crazy. I think in order to have a very vital, thriving business community, you actually have to have people like city staff, who's usually the driver in these cases, go out there and actually knock on doors. You have to get outside city hall doors to do so. Calling on the phone, faxing, emailing just doesn't work. We really don't have a really strong, vital economic department at City Hall that's actually engaged, in my estimation, this is just me, and there also is somewhat prohibitive, as Doug said, because they get lost in the miasma of planning.
Right.
And right now we're looking at the West Side Plan and the West Side Code for the west side of town, with most of the majority that I know of the citizens in our town and the community don't realize if that flies the way the city has designed it, it's going to impact the rest of the town. I'm not in favor of this plan and code because it is not friendly to business and it's not friendly to residents. There's some flaws, but we're going to have some discussions with city staff, sit down with them, and where, meaning the west side, so we can actually iron out the differences and hopefully come to that Doug's word compromise to make it work better. But at this point, I'm not a big fan of this plan. In fact, I would, you know, when city is looking at this, and it has to go through city council to be approved sometime in June, I hope we have enough time there to muster so we can actually convince other people to get involved and to the point where we need to change it. There's no provisions for parks on the west side. There's no traffic improvement plans for the west side, although they've identified putting in 1,400 new dwellings, residential or business dwellings. And if you're in a business, you're getting spanked because this it's prohibitive to even move walls. I mean, so I think we'll probably sit down sometime in the near future with city staff and kind of come to this agreement. Well, maybe plan A didn't work. Plan B, number one didn't work. Number two didn't work. Number three didn't work. Let's about 1A. Let's modify all three of them and make them work somewhat better and more streamlined so it's business friendly.
There's that C word again, compromise. My guests are Suze Montgomery and Doug Halter. We're kicking around city politics. Suze, I want to pick up on something that you said just to clarify, because I've had both Mayor Tracy and I've had Rick Cole in to talk to the cities here. We, in fact, don't have a business development person in place. That's a job position that, for budgetary reasons, they can't fill. So business development now is falling on the shoulders of four people doing it part-time. And that's the reality that we're faced with in City Hall because of budget cuts, because of the shortfall in revenue that we're getting from taxes and other sources. So those are the realities that we have to manage, you know, and we have to look at those things. Given the scope and the realities of it, what can citizens do to try to generate new business or at least attract new business into the area? Suze, I'll start with you.
Well, I think you can't really put this one on the citizens. This decision-making is back at City Hall. And I think if you don't have somebody out there working it full-time, especially in times of economic strife, which we're all going through on a national, maybe a global level, you're not going to get the job done. Four part-timers are giving part-time work. That does not equate to one person. I think you need a lead person at City Hall that's doing this, and maybe a couple of additional people working with that person to go out there and actually get out of the city to bang on a few doors. And I mean, this is what works here. You can't wait for them to come to us, and we don't have a tax base. The only tax base we have is the card room, a poker room. I mean, this is ludicrous. I mean, you have to actually go out there and find people that will come to town or relocate. Green business is fine, but we need other businesses to support us.
Right.
And this is what's needed. I mean, who's going to fix my washer and dryer when it breaks down?
Right.
Come on, give me a break.
Well,
we need business.
That is important. I want to come back and talk to you, Doug, about these green businesses and these executive businesses, because what we're seeing with internet businesses, which are considerably greener than and green businesses in general, they're wonderful, they're good on the economy, they have high-paying jobs. For the few jobs that they have,
That's right.
Problem is technology companies and green businesses don't employ a lot of people.
That's right.
You take a look at Google. Now, Google, one of the biggest companies in the world, is doing it with just a couple thousand employees worldwide, whereas General Motors, the biggest car manufacturer in the world at the height, had almost 600,000 employees worldwide.
Wow.
So, you know, the difference between old manufacturing cars and new manufacturing Google today means fewer and fewer jobs. So aren't we putting ourselves in between a rock and a hard place if we're looking for green jobs? We want to get jobs, but the green jobs don't create jobs.
You couldn't have said it any better, Bill. I got to tell you. You know, the thing is that, again, those are the politically correct things that cities want, are green jobs, high-tech jobs. It's a wave of the future, the high paying. But the thing is, as Suze was saying, it's about, one, retaining the businesses that are here, having the businesses to support our community, and not having to go elsewhere for the services and the needs that we all need to have here in Ventura. And so it's making sure that our policies and our legislation and our codes support the right type of housing for all types of people in our community. We need housing for all economic levels. We need to have quality school system and quality parks. We need to be able to offer the arts and cultural amenities. We need to have, I remember, we need to create a buzz around our community. This is one of California's historic communities, one of the few charter cities in the state. Right. And we are on one of the most pristine, most beautiful coastlines in the world. And we really, if we can't attract businesses, something's really wrong. And there is something really wrong. And it's the inefficiency of government, not for lack of trying. There's a lot of very good people trying very hard to make things work. But we have bogged ourselves down in bureaucracy.
All right, let me shotgun a real quick question at each of you in the short time that we have remaining. If you had the microphone, which you will in just a minute, what would you say to citizens about getting involved in Ventura? Suze, I'll start with you.
Well, if you don't get engaged in process, and that's process, which is City Hall and in your community, and you don't, you're not a player, and you're not going to have your voice heard. If you're silent or have a muzzle on, you're not going to be heard. Get involved in the process. Educate yourself. Read the issues. Vote, for God's sake, and get a part of the community. Be a part of the fabric so you can own it when we win.
All right. Own it when you win. Doug?
I would say, you know, it's in any community, one person can make a difference. In our community, given our voting record, one person really does make a difference.
It does.
Get involved. Know that your opinion matters. And make sure you persist. That you when you know something's right, stay with it and continue hammering on it until you get some action and you get things changed. Mm-hmm. We've changed a lot. A lot of things are going in the right direction, but we have a long ways to go. We need all the help we can get.
Vote, vote, vote. One vote exactly. Does make a difference. When you can elect a city council person with only 7,000 votes in a city that has 106,000 residents, one vote does make a difference. My guests have been Suze Montgomery and Doug Halter, part of my political roundtable. Thank you so much for both being in the studio. We'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds great. Thanks for offering.